safe.
Now, coming up, we've got Diana with Question of the Week, but now it's time to hear from Rick Feinberg of Sky and Telescope magazine. Rick spoke to Mira this week about the latest developments in space. First up, Globe at Night, a project to bring together both professional and amateur astronomers with the public and get them all stargazing.
Well, one of the newest things that's happening right now is there's a worldwide effort on the part of both professional astronomers and amateur astronomers, and even among ordinary citizens, to measure the darkness, or actually the brightness, of the night sky to try to figure out what the impact of light pollution is around the world. When astronomers talk about light pollution, we're talking about artificial lighting that is wastefully being shined up into the sky and causing faint stars to disappear. Most people live in cities now, and they rarely get to see the night sky in all its glory.
And so what's the project actually getting people to do?
Well, the Globe Project is very simple. They ask people to go out at night in late February and early March and look at the constellation Orion, which is very familiar to most casual stargazers and which is visible from every point on Earth at this time of year, and count how many stars they can see in the constellation. And then they compare their view of the constellation with some templates that are on the Globe at Night website and determine whether they're seeing stars that are as faint as third magnitude or fainter fourth magnitude or even fainter fifth magnitude. That's how astronomers measure star brightness. And that enables the Globe at Night project to do a worldwide map of sky brightness.
Has anything been revealed so far?
Well, this is the third year. In 2006 and 2007, they had something like 10 to 20,000 participants doing measurements. And they've been able to determine that measurements done from the ground by people track very consistently with measurements that are done by satellites in orbit, which is useful because if the information didn't match up, you might begin to suspect that your satellites weren't operating properly. As you might expect, most of the light pollution is clustered in populous cities. One of the things that's interesting is that it's possible if you have a large number of people doing measurements in any particular city, is that you can find little enclaves where the night sky is a bit darker than surrounding areas. And these are places where amateur astronomers are likely going to want to go set up their telescopes because they'll be able to see more.
So that will be quite useful just for people to know their local best spot.
Right. And the Globe at Night project is planning to be much larger in 2009 because next year is the International Year of Astronomy. That celebrates 400 years of the telescope. Galileo first used a telescope to look at the stars in 1609. And the plan is to have a lot more people than have been participating in the Globe at Night project so far do it next year so that awareness of light pollution will be raised around the world.
Well, hopefully all will go well with the project and the number of astronomers out there will increase. But moving from the stars to the planets, it turns out that the liquid water that was thought to have existed on Mars wasn't there after all.
Well, NASA's plan for studying Mars is to follow the water, that's how they put it, because if you follow the water, you follow lines of evidence that might ultimately point toward life on other worlds. And astronomers have seen lots of evidence that liquid water flowed on Mars in the distant past. We have huge canyons on Mars. We have things that look exactly like river deltas. So there's very little argument over the probability that liquid water flowed on the planet many, many years ago. We're talking millions or even billions of years ago. The question is there liquid water on Mars today? And in late 2006, using images from the Mars Global Surveyor, several planetary scientists saw evidence that liquid water can actually flow on Mars even now. What they saw was a couple of gullies that were cut into the sides of craters. And these gullies suddenly had fresh, light-colored deposits in them. And the thought was that between the time that the images were taken when there was no deposits and then when there was deposits, that liquid water had somehow erupted out of the gullies, probably from underground, and flowed down and dropped some salts or other deposits into these gullies, causing them to look different than they had a few years earlier.
And so what's happened to make them not think this anymore?
Well, now there's a much higher resolution camera in orbit around Mars on the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And those craters that had the gullies in them were retargeted. And much higher resolution images enable planetary scientists to build a computer model that tries to explain how these gully deposits were laid down. And what they did was they now had really good three-dimensional maps of the gullies. And they simulated the creation of these light streaky deposits through liquid flow, through a mud flow or a lava flow, or through something more like a landslide, as if a hill had collapsed and all kinds of particles and dust and rocks had flown down. And what they found was that they could reproduce the appearance of these deposits in the gullies much more precisely using a dry flow, something like a landslide, than they could using a wet flow as if there had been a flash flood in these gullies. So suddenly, the compelling evidence that liquid water has flowed on Mars as recently as the last few years is cast into doubt.
That was Rick Feinberg, editor-in-chief of Sky and Telescope magazine, talking to Mirror about the latest news about space research. If you want to get involved or see the results of the Globe at Night project, then you can visit them online at www.globe.gov/GAN. Maybe you can find the best place near you for stargazing.